AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome to AI Unraveled, your daily briefing on the real-world business impact of AI. Before we start, let's talk about where you're putting your marketing dollars. Stop marketing to the general public. Talk directly to enterprise AI builders. Your platform solves the hardest challenge in tech, getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale. But are you reaching the right 1%? AI Unraveled is the single destination for senior enterprise leaders, CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads, who need production-ready solutions like yours. We've reserved a limited number of high-impact mid-roll ad spots for companies focused on high-stakes, governed AI infrastructure. This isn't spray-and-pray advertising. It's a direct line to your most valuable buyers. Don't wait for your competition to claim the remaining airtime. Secure your high-impact package immediately. Email us today at info@djamgatech.com. Back to AI Unraveled.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. If you've been following the news this week, you'll have noticed, well, a definite change in how we talk about AI. It used to be all about this this beautiful open research field, right? Algorithms, breakthroughs, that whole era. It feels like it's pretty much over. What we're seeing now is, well, it's a fundamental industrial scale competition, like a tech cold war starting up. The headlines point to this massive shift, something we're calling the Great Consolidation. So our mission today is to dive into the sources, track this really fierce race for control. We're looking at how the big players are fighting to dominate the three core pillars: compute, capital, and cognition, which means talent.
Yeah, and that framework, compute, capital, cognition, it's crucial. It really shows how fast the game has changed, getting to AGI, dominating the market. It's not just about having the smartest algorithm anymore, as the sources make clear. The biggest hurdles now, they're physical, like hardware. They're financial, just sheer cost. And they're intensely geopolitical. If you can't lock down the hardware, the money flow, or the top people, well, it just can't compete at the frontier.
Yeah,
it shifted from pure innovation to industrial might.
Okay, let's start with that first pillar then, compute. The scale of investment. I mean, it's unlike anything we've seen in tech before. We saw reports suggesting OpenAI's total infrastructure commitments. They're getting close to $1 trillion.
A trillion. It's hard to even grasp.
Right. This isn't just like a big IT budget. This is building infrastructure on the scale of a small country. We're talking huge deals here. 10 gigawatts of GPUs from NVIDIA, another 6 gigawatts from AMD, and now this massive new partnership with Broadcom for 10 more gigawatts. Mm-hmm. But these are custom accelerators. Mm-hmm. You add that all up, their capacity is over 26 gigawatts. The energy needed. It's like running 26 nuclear power plants.
And that 26 gigawatt figure, it sounds abstract, but think about what it actually means on the ground. The money just for the specialized cooling, the dedicated power infrastructure, the actual land.
Yeah.
That's the real barrier to entry. That's the compute moat they're building.
Yeah, moat.
And what's really interesting about that Broadcom deal, it's not just raw power, it's strategic.
Yeah.
It's about efficiency. They're co-developing custom chips designed specifically for inference.
Right. Inference that's running the model every time a user asks it something.
Exactly. That's the recurring cost. When you have millions, maybe hundreds of millions of people using it constantly, that operational cost just skyrockets. Mm-hmm. So by engineering silicon specifically for that job, OpenAI is driving down its long-term cost for every single query.
Oh, okay.
It gives them this structural cost advantage that, you know, a startup relying on general purpose chips just can't match.
And getting the money for all this. That brings us to the second capital. And SoftBank, they seem to have completely changed their strategy, right? They're moving away from that risky software VC model.
Totally pivoted. Yeah. They're positioning themselves more like a kind of infrastructure bank for the AI age, almost like a sovereign wealth fund in some ways.
So what's the thinking there?
Their bet is on certainty. They're betting that every future AI application, no matter what it does, is going to need more compute, more power, more data centers. It's basically the safest bet in the entire AI sector right now. Pick and shovels.
Pick and shovels, right.
That's why you see them involved in things like the huge $500 billion Stargate project with OpenAI and Oracle, building these next-gen data centers,
yeah,
funding these massive long-term building blocks. the AI equivalent of, I don't know, highways or railroads.
Yeah.
It's much less volatile than trying to guess the next hit app.
Okay, sticking with infrastructure. This is where the corporate race really slams into geopolitics. We saw something pretty dramatic this week, a real escalation of techno-nationalism. The Dutch government used this Goods Availability Act.
Mm-hmm. Rarely used.
To basically seize control of Nexperia. That's a key chip maker owned by a Chinese company, Wingtech.
Yeah, that act is serious stuff. It's like a national security override.
And Nexperia is important because they make these fundamental components, right? Diodes, right. Transistors, including those efficient wide-gap semis.
Exactly. Stuff that's essential for EVs, but also crucial for the power systems in these huge new AI data centers we were just talking about.
So what does this mean, this kind of seizure?
It's a huge signal. We've moved past just export controls, you know, telling companies what they can't sell overseas.
Right.
This is the government directly taking over foreign-owned factories on its own soil.
Mm.
Even if they talk about governance issues, the underlying message is clear. National security, or maybe techno-security, now trumps economic efficiency. Hands down.
So countries are bringing supply chains home, even if it costs more.
Absolutely. The risk of having essential tech components cut off or seized like this, it's just seen as too high now. That era of finely tuned, globalized tech supply chains, it's fragmenting fast.
Okay, so if compute is the fuel, then the elite talent cognition that's the engine driving these models, and the fight for the key researchers, it's become like corporate raiding. Just look at Meta.
Oh, yeah, that was aggressive.
They managed to poach Andrew Tulloch. He co-founded Miramarati's Thinking Machines Lab, and this was just months after TML raised $2 billion at a $12 billion valuation.
Right. It's stunning. And what's really telling is how they did it. Zuckerberg apparently tried to buy the whole company first and failed.
So plan B.
Plan B was what you could call strategic extraction. Zuckerberg personally led the recruitment effort. Reports mentioned compensation packages potentially hitting nine figures. Some whispers were even higher.
Nine figures. Some reports mentioned, what, $1.5 billion over 6 years? That sounds almost unreal.
It does sound unreal. Maybe it is. But even if it's half that, it's astronomical. It tells you something profound.
What's that?
That the perceived value of one or two key individuals is now potentially higher than the entire market cap of many established tech companies.
Wow.
And this isn't an equihire, you know, buying a struggling startup for its team.
No, TML was flying high.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is actively dismantling a successful, well-funded competitor from the inside. It makes it economically irrational for the core talent to stay. It completely changes the game for VCs, too. Why wait years for an exit when a giant can just write a check to a founder that dwarfs any likely return?
It proves talent really is the ultimate scarce resource.
It's the most critical, non-fungible asset there is right now.
Yeah.
And the big players will pay almost anything for it.
And on a more, let's say, surgical level, you see Elon Musk's XAI doing something similar. They just hired two researchers, Zeeshan Patel and Ethan He, straight from NVIDIA.
Mm.
And their specialty is key. World models and complex physics simulations. They worked on NVIDIA's Omniverse platform.
Right. And that specific expertise lines up perfectly with XAI's stated goals. Yeah. They want to go beyond just language.
They want AI that understands physics, the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And they mentioned building a great AI-generated game by late 2026.
And the game aspect isn't just about entertainment. If you connect the dots, video games are becoming the prime R&D sandbox for this kind of AI.
How so?
Well, the real world is messy, dangerous, expensive for AI training, but a high-fidelity game engine. It's a controlled environment. It's a safe space where an AI can learn about cause and effect, planning, physical rules, through millions or billions of trial and error cycles really fast.
So the game isn't the end goal, it's the training ground.
Precisely. The ultimate aim isn't just the game itself, it's training the kind of physically grounded AI you need for, say, advanced robotics or truly capable autonomous vehicles.
And the quickest way to get that capability
is often just to hire the person who already built something like it. It's a direct capability transfer.
Okay, so models are maturing, talent's being consolidated. Now the fight seems to be moving up the stack to the user interface, AI as the new OS. Slack's move here seems pretty significant. They've rebuilt Slackbot completely.
Yeah, it's not just a bot anymore.
They're aiming for it to be like the central nervous system for your workspace.
Yeah.
It's doing complex, multi-step things now,
right,
like generating a whole product launch plan or coordinating meetings by talking to your Outlook or Google Calendar.
And what Slack is betting on, their potential edge, is their unique data. Rivals might have powerful general models, but Slack has the conversational context, the actual social graph, how specific teams talk, collaborate, who knows what.
Right, the messy human stuff.
Exactly. They believe an AI grounded in that specific high-context data will be more useful, more personalized than a generic model, even if that generic model is technically stronger on some benchmarks.
Makes sense. And speaking of AI doing things, not just talking, OpenAI integrating its agent builder with Zapier's platform. That feels like a big step for workflow automation.
Oh, huge. Zapier's multi-controller platform, the MCP, it's like a universal translator. It connects the AI's brain to, what, over 8,000 different apps?
Yeah, something like that.
So the LLM goes from being a passive thinker, writing summaries or emails, to an active doer. An agent can now actually execute tasks across multiple apps from one instruction, create a Google form, update Salesforce, send a follow-up.
All autonomously.
Pretty much. This is really the starting gun for that agent economy people have been talking about.
But getting businesses to actually use this stuff deeply, trust is everything. Which brings us to bias. OpenAI made a point this week of detailing their efforts, claiming GPT-5 has something like a 30% reduction in measurable political bias compared to older models.
Which is crucial for enterprise adoption.
Right. And they had to make bias, which is often subjective, into something you can actually measure, like an engineering problem. They developed this 5-part framework looking at things like asymmetric coverage of topics or when the AI refuses to answer political questions.
Quantifying the problem.
Exactly. That's the kind of auditable metric a CIO needs before they let this AI loose inside their company systems.
And that trust is absolutely vital when you move to really sensitive areas like healthcare. We're seeing AI used now as a physician extender. Mass General Brigham, for instance.
MGB.
They launched Care Connect. They had a real problem, 15,000 patients without a primary care doctor, a huge backlog.
So how does Care Connect work?
It's essentially a 247 AI chatbot. It does the initial patient intake, digs through their electronic health records, and then generates a list of potential diagnoses. This gets passed to a human doctor who can then review it quickly via telehealth.
So it does the groundwork?
Exactly. It automates all that laborious data gathering and initial assessment. It lets the human doctor focus on the high-level judgment, the critical thinking, basically operate at the top of their license, as they say.
Okay, so that's a clear positive impact. But let's touch on the extremes, the really good and the potentially risky. On the good side, AI is improving early warning systems, right?
Massively. Look at the University of Michigan's ERACastNet. It's fascinating. It uses AI not to replace the traditional physics-based flood prediction models, but as an intelligent correction layer on top of them.
Ah, so it refines the existing models.
Precisely. And this hybrid approach, it's boosting the accuracy of national flood forecasts by 4 to 6 times. It's enhancing human expertise, not replacing it. And then you have Google's Flood Hub giving 7-day warnings to, I think, 700 million people now across 100 countries. That's AI literally saving lives.
That's incredible. But then, the flip side, the emotional frontier, especially with teens. Reports showing 72% of teens have used AI companions. That's huge.
It is. And they find the 247 availability, the non-judgmental aspect, really appealing for emotional support.
But the danger is?
The danger is these are general purpose AIs. They weren't built with therapeutic safety protocols. They don't have guardrails like a trained therapist would.
And studies are showing they can actually reinforce negative thinking or even give harmful advice.
Unfortunately, yes. When prompted in certain ways, they've apparently given dangerous advice related to self-harm, eating disorders, things like that.
So that creates this massive ethical minefield.
Absolutely. A huge regulatory battle is brewing over the duty of care these tech companies have when their products are used this way, often unintentionally. It's a really complex area.
Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive into the great consolidation, we've seen this clear shift. Compute is the new strategic resource, like oil. Elite talent is basically a weapon in corporate warfare now. And the interface, how we interact with AI, that's the next big battleground for user adoption. This whole consolidation, it isn't just about chips and dollars, is it? It has these deep, sometimes hidden impacts on who gets access and how society changes.
It really does. And that leads us to think about a critical area that's now in the spotlight, education. On the surface, AI offers this amazing promise of personalized tutoring for every student. Fantastic.
Right? Sounds great.
But we have to look closely at the risk of creating a new kind of digital divide, a really pernicious one.
Yeah.
Think about it. Wealthier school districts will probably use AI to augment their well-paid, highly qualified human teachers, free them up for more mentorship, more individual attention.
Okay.
But schools in under-resourced areas, they might face pressure to adopt AI not as a helper, but as a cheaper replacement for human teachers they can't afford or retain.
Ah.
So the provocative question for you listening at home is this. If that trend plays out, will we end up defining the quality of a child's education, not by the sophistication of the AI they use, but by the sheer amount of meaningful human interaction, guidance, and mentorship they still receive? It's something to really consider as these tech giants continue to consolidate their power over the future.
That's it for today's deep dive. We hope you walked away with actionable insights for your enterprise strategy. Before you go, let me remind you of the unparalleled value of this platform. AI Unraveled delivers deep, uncompromised technical insight that keeps our audience, senior enterprise leaders, tuned in to the very last minute. That sustained attention is the best place for your ad. This is your opportunity for a direct line to your most valuable buyers, the CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads who sign off on high-stakes infrastructure. Stop wasting budget on general marketing noise. Secure your high-impact premium ad campaign right here. Email us today to reserve your mid-roll package, info@djamgatech.com. Thank you for listening to AI Unraveled. We'll be back tomorrow with more.